Certainly happy that you're here to engage in worship with us today, especially if you're visiting with us. We certainly count you our guest and hope you come back at every opportunity you might have to be with the church family here at Gardner Lane. Today I want to talk with you on the subject of a story from Exodus. I don't believe I ever preached on this this man before, but today we want to talk about getting to know Aaron. And you'd think after all the sermons you'd preach over a lifetime that you'd preach on Aaron at some point or another, but I don't believe that I ever had. I'd always lump him with Moses a lot of times, but to talk about this today and to make some practical application to our life as we finish the study today. First of all, we want to look at Aaron's family for a minute over in chapter 6 of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 6. We see in chapter 6 and in verse 19 or verse 18, the sons of Kohath, he is a son of Levi, who's the son of Jacob, and the son of Kohath, his firstborn son, is Amram. Now, Kohath, he lives to be 133 years old. And then it says in verse 20, and Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed. And she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the life, or the length of Amram's life, was 137 years. He is the older brother of Moses. In chapter 7 and in verse 7, as they're getting ready to deliver the children of Israel through the power of God, we see that Aaron and Moses is 80 years old and Aaron is 83 years old. I suppose Moses probably thought at that point in time that his life was over. Over in Acts chapter 7, it states the fact that he wanted to lead the children of Israel out at that time when he was 40 years old, but they didn't follow him at that time. So he had been around the Sinai Peninsula now for about 40 years, and he had gotten married, had a couple of kids, and I guess he thought pretty much that life was over, and the Lord speaks to him in the burning bush, of course, and we know the story of that. Over in chapter 6 of Exodus, in verse 23, chapter 6 and verse 23, it says that Aaron married Elisheba, the daughter of Amminadab, the sister of Nashon, and she bore him four sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. We see Aaron's service as the first high priest in Exodus, the 27th chapter, in Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27, verse 21, then chapter 28, verse 1. Chapter 27, verse 21, it says, in the tent of meeting, outside the veil which is before the testimony or the Ark of the Covenant, Aaron and his sons shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord. And it shall be a perpetual statute throughout the generation for the sons of Israel. Then bring near yourself Aaron, your brother, his sons with him, from among the sons of Israel, to minister as priests to me, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. As we make this application this morning, we're going to basically talk about several events. These are the events in some form that we'll look at this morning, although they'll be rather quick. Maybe the speeches and the miracles before Pharaoh, the battle against Amalek, the fellowship meal with God at Mount Sinai that many times we don't think about or maybe overlook sometimes, the golden calf at Mount Sinai, and the construction of the tabernacle. So here we go. Lessons that we can learn from Aaron and the Exodus. First of all, like Aaron, we can be part of a team bringing deliverance. Here's some of the things that we know about Aaron. I always wondered about this as a kid growing up, every time I would hear this in Bible class. But the children of Israel, they're in bondage. But somehow or another, Aaron just walks right out of Egypt and he crosses the Red Sea, however he crosses the Red Sea, and he goes close to Sinai, and there he's going to meet up with Moses, his brother, after 40 years. So that was always question to me about how he would do that. Maybe when a fellow is 83 years old, maybe they don't think much about it. But that's what he does. He meets up with Moses. He meets up with Moses in the wilderness. In chapter 4 of Exodus, in verse 14, chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 14. It says in verse 14, then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. In chapter 7 and in verse 1, chapter 7, verse 1, again we read, and the Lord said to Moses, see, I will make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. In chapter 5 and in verse 1, and afterward Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. Then in chapter 7 and verse 10 through 12, chapter 7 verses 10 through 12, it says, so Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh, and thus they did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. So he had all sorts of snakes down there on the ground. And then, of course, as you know already in the story, for each one threw down his staff, and they turned into serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staff. His snake swallowed up all their snakes. So one thing we can learn from this is speaking. Speaking, that helps us be a part of a team that's going about trying to preach deliverance to people. We also see that serving is, in chapter 7 and in verse 19, chapter 7, verse 19, It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch it out over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers, over the streams, over the pools, over the reservoirs of water, that it may become blood. And there will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone." So we see him turning the water to blood. In chapter 8 and in verse 4, it says, "Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up, covered the land." Chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "Stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that there may be or become gnats throughout all the land of Egypt." Some versions say lice. Chapter 11 in verse 10. Chapter 11, verse 10. It says, "Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of the land." So we see that he's serving, he is speaking, speaks fluently, he's speaking what God wants him to speak, because Moses doesn't feel comfortable doing this in the beginning, although we see Moses later on doing this. We see that he's serving, he's involved in many of these miracles, and supporting. Here we see a story of them fighting a group called the Amalekites. Amalek. Chapter 17 and verse 8 beginning. It says, "Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us, go out and fight against Amalek." These are slaves. They had never had a walking army before. They had never evidently fought before. If they were going to raise their hand to the Egyptians, they would probably be killed immediately. But now here they are. They're involved in a fight. And how many of these people are going to die? Well, it says, "Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him, and he fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And they came up that Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy. He's 80 years old. Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him. He sat on it. Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other, until his hands were steady, until the sun set. So we see he's speaking. We see that he's serving. We see that he's supporting. And if you're on a team, that's what you need to do. But we're on a very important group here. And that is, we're in a group that's trying to bring about deliverance to a lot of people. To people that we can contact. To people that we can communicate with. But here we see Aaron trying to do his part. Like Aaron, I can take part in a divinely planned meal. In Exodus chapter 19 in verse 24, Exodus 19 verse 24, as the Lord visits Sinai. Exodus 19 verse 24, it says, "Then the Lord said to him, go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priest and the people break through and come to the Lord, or he will break forth upon them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. An interesting story in chapter 24. Maybe we overlook it sometimes. Chapter 24 and verse 7 beginning. Chapter 24, verse 7 beginning. It says in chapter 24, verse 7, that he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. And Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Verse 10, they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel. And they saw God, and they ate and drank. Now the Lord said to Moses, come to me on the mountain and remain here, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with Joshua his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of the Lord. But to the elders, he said, wait here for us until we return to you. Behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him approach them. Verse 11, they ate and drank and saw God. I don't know if they're talking about the glory of God. I know Moses one time saw the headquarters. But what a meal. Remember preaching this one time down in the country. And they said, oh, can you imagine being able to do that? What about the divinely planned meal that we have here every Sunday? When we commune with the Son of God and God Himself, do we just look at that as just another time to come together and just go through these motions? That I could take part in a divinely planned meal. We'd be like Aaron there. But then after that, like Aaron, you can be tempted to follow the crowd. You can take part of this meal that we just took part of a few moments ago, the Lord's Supper, and leave here. And within a few minutes, be following the crowd. And that's pretty much the problem with Aaron here. As we open up again to chapter 32 of Exodus. Chapter 32 of Exodus, verse 1 through verse 6. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Aaron says, tear off your gold rings. that are in your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, bring them to me. They tore off the gold rings that were in their ears. They brought them to Aaron. He took them from his hand. He fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a golden calf or a molten calf and said, "This is your God, O Israel, who has brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Just a few days before, he had dined with the Lord. And now, how quickly someone can follow the crowd. That's part of the life of Aaron. Maybe something that we do on occasion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall." Well, what else do we notice? Well, I must repent when I've angered God. That's an important lesson to learn. Chapter 32 again, verse 7 beginning. Chapter 32, verse 7. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way that I have commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it, saying, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they're an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation." So they had to be about the business of repenting. Like Aaron, I'm responsible for my influence. In chapter 32 and in verse 19 beginning, "It came about as soon as Moses came down near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands, and it shattered them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it into powder and scattered it over the surface of the water and made the sons of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, 'What did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them?' And Aaron said, 'Do not let the anger of my Lord burn, for you know the people themselves, that they are prone to evil. But they said to me, "Make a God for us that will go before us." And for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, 'Whoever has any gold, let them tear it off.' And they gave it to me. I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf." Wasn't telling him about that graving tool that he was engraving that calf to come out. But I'm responsible. Like Aaron, I'm responsible for my influence. Last one here, and our lesson's over today. Like Aaron, I must cherish everything done to help me serve well. Maybe the encouragement that people have given you over the years, encouraging you to be faithful, maybe encouraging you to how to study the Bible. It might be the fact that people have encouraged you in problems, maybe family problems, maybe job problems. It might be the fact that people have encouraged you by having you into their homes many, many times, maybe taking you out to eat, whatever it might be. like Aaron? Do I cherish everything done to help me serve well? In chapter 39, it talks about the priestly garment. And what was involved with the priestly garment? All the beautiful gold and blue and purple and scarlet material, twisted linen. Then in verse 27, chapter 39 of Exodus, verse 27. And they made the tunics of the finely woven material for Aaron for his sons, the turban of fine linen, the decorated caps of fine linen, the linen breeches of fine twisted linen, the sash of fine twisted linen, the blue, the purple, the scarlet material, the work of the weaver, just as the Lord commanded Moses. They made a plate of the holy crown of pure gold and inscribed it like the engravings of a signet, holy to the Lord. That's the image that I want you to get at the end of this sermon today. As he wears this, he wears that sign that says, holy to the Lord. Now, we're priests today. Talks about that over in 1 Peter. The royal nation, holy priesthood. The question is, are we still holy to the Lord? When you leave here, are you going to be holy to the Lord? In the book of Psalm 115, verse 10 through 12, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help, their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. Oh, let the house of Aaron, whose loving kindness is everlasting. Well, very quickly, that's part of the life of Aaron. And like Aaron, things that we can do as children of God. So as we get ready to say, who at my door is standing, we would encourage you that if you need to be baptized or to come back to your first love, we invite you to come now. While together we stand, we sing.